This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
All right, welcome in, pro wrestling fans, here on a Saturday. It is time for a Best Of Podcast edition of Busted Open. I'm your weekend host, Ryan McKinnell, joined, as always, by the world's strongest man, Mark Henry. What's up, Mark?
Man, I am so excited about this show today. I hope that everybody that's in podcast heaven tunes in, because this is a good one.
That's right. Out there in podcast heaven, we are in COVID hell, but we are still holding it down, bringing you shows, and we are very happy to do so. And it was a great week for professional wrestling. Mark, of course, we're going to talk about SmackDown here on the show, and what was a really, really solid episode of SmackDown, and it ended with a bang with The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, attacking Alexa Bliss with the Mandible Claw. Not an optic that we get often in the WWE Universe, Mark, but I certainly loved it. It wouldn't be a Saturday show if we didn't have a weekly winner. And weekly winner this week, Mark, it was great last week. A lot of competition. We took away both of us. Monday Night Raw last week winning for weekly winner. And surprisingly this week, not to give too much away, a little bit of a tease, but we had the same winner this week.
Pretty smart. We did. And you have to tune in to the podcast to hear exactly who that was.
That's right. That's what we call a tease in the radio business. This is Busted Open Radio on a Saturday. I am Ryan. That is Mark. Sit back, relax, click play on that browser. Let's get it going. Busted Open on a Saturday. It is rare when you see that sort of, I guess, just straight violence inflicted on the ladies of WWE. I mean, Mandy Rose got her ass whipped by Sonya Deville and Alexa Bliss. Mark, it is not often that you see a woman attacked by a male talent in that way. I mean, that was violent. It was menacing. It sticks with the brand of The Fiend, and that's a scary dude. We talk about it all the time.
Yeah, you talk about, like, it's been a long time since I saw a male talent go out of his way to make it bad on a female talent.
Yeah.
And not just the act, but the intimidation of The Fiend stalking her was uncomfortable. And then once he got to her, I'm just like, holy cow, did I just see that? I'm already kind of squeamish when it comes to, horror type stuff.
Yes, and that we know.
That was one of those points. Shut up. It was one of those points where the stalking and the eerie music made me like want to go get a drink. Okay, I'm gonna take time. And then when I turned my head and I saw him put the damn mandible claw, I said, "What in the hell just happened?" I was like, "Did he goozle her?" Yes. And I was like, "Wow, it's been a long time."
You talked about the music, the shrieking, the that was getting drawn out and just kept repeating.
How'd it go again?
That was my Jurassic Park impression. Guys should have seen Mark's face. He was like, what is too early in the morning to be hearing that shriek? I was doing my best, man. We in the vast sound department here on a Saturday. I didn't want to put them through more hell than they're already going through, right? I didn't need them to pull the shrieking audio. My point is, Mark, is that there was a bit of drama there, right? It was drawn out. And then The Fiend, for those of you that missed it, The Fiend did end up putting the mandible claw on Alexa Bliss to end SmackDown last night. But then there was the drawn out sort of the moment of it, right? Like he made the shape of the mandible claw like he was like feeding it to her. Like he almost like he was giving Alexa the option, like, do you want to take this? Like, do you want the mandible claw? And he was going in all slow and going in all slow and going in all slow. And then he just, bam, just hits her with it. Yo, that was next level. That was one of those moments, Mark, where I feel like if you're, I go back to Macho Man and Jake the Snake and the snake on the arm, right? There's moments where the barbershop window where I was a kid where it was like, is that real? Or like, man, that was heavy. Like if I was a 9 or a 10-year-old kid watching that, it feels like that's going to be one of those moments that sticks with me as a WWE fan long into my adulthood. It just,
so
it was,
that,
it was
that's
jarring.
Why that stuck with me. That's why that yes. stuck with me and jarred me last night because I'm a 9, 10-year-old kid.
Well, actually, I think we try to watch. Don't we try to watch the product through those eyes? I do, at least.
Yeah, I do. I actually do, because especially now. And Dave and I talked about this yesterday. Pro wrestling is the only sport or business or form of entertainment where you try your best to tear it down. I mean, like, I'm a Texas Longhorn fan.
Yeah.
There's no way that I'm going to go and look up the news report to see if there's some UT football player that got arrested or that did something debaucherous and I want to post it. I got to hurry up and post this so I can be the first one to post some negativity about something I love. Who does that?
Well,
wrestling fans. That's who.
I heard that conversation to you and Dave going back and forth yesterday. It's obviously, all right, so I view that in a couple different ways. First of all, I understand what you're saying and why you would feel that way. But then there's this, obviously, the inner sports writer in me, right? The journalist in me. Obviously, I've worked for Yahoo Sports, and I've covered a couple different sports throughout my career out here in Vegas. And you do see, right, reporters, journalists, they cover contracts. They cover happenings. You're seeing it right now with COVID in Major League Baseball.
But that's you. You're a reporter. I'm talking about the fan. Our fans are the ones that are the most negative.
They're the ones that are going on social media. You don't have negative Cowboy fans out there, you know, critiquing Jerry Jones and his spending and Dak Prescott and the franchise tag. I mean, people bitch. People love to bitch. It's just like what they do.
Yeah, you're right. But I will say this.
I think the issue with pro wrestling, and you know, this is a subject that I've thought a lot about. I mean, we've had these conversations off the air as well. I think the issue that you run into in pro wrestling is that it's not the NFL. It's not Major League Baseball. It's not the NBA. It's not some of these other organizations where the security is a little bit more, right? Like, what I'm getting at is pro wrestling is more of a community. It's an art and it's a business that we all love very much. And we're all kind of playing catch up. Like, we're not what it was in the Attitude Era, right? We're not pulling 5 and 6 and 7 ratings. That's not what this is, right? We are all in this together as pro wrestling fans. Oh, it can be. Well, no, there's no question mark. There's no question. Pro wrestling has been a thing in this country for 100 years, and it will continue to be going forward. I'm just saying, right now in this current incarnation, I think as we talk about it, you want to feel like you're lifting up the business because we do love it so much. So the constant negativity, when you feel like you're trying to fight for something better and to bring legitimacy to something that we care so much about, it's a little bit more infuriating than it would be with other sports because they're a little bit more established currently right now. So I feel like when we talk about it, there's a protective nature that pisses us off, and I understand it.
Yeah, and I find it more from the opposite or opposing fans. Mm. I get it from the Redskins fans. I get it from the Eagles fans. I have a buddy of mine in New York that posted a picture yesterday of the movie, like Heath Ledger and the guy that was in the movie Brokeback Mountain, and the two cowboys hugging.
Yeah, Jake Gyllenhaal.
With the, you know, they had the cowboy hats on, and it was like one of those real romantic hugs. And he said, "I'm going to tell my kids that this is the Cowboys." And I was like, okay, so now I see what we're doing. But I've been a basher of the Washington racial slurs forever.
It's pretty easy. It's pretty easy to not like them.
You know what I'm saying? So sure. I can see it when you're bashing an opposing team that you hate. Yeah. Yeah. But your own team? That's only wrestling. We're the only ones that break down as fans. You know what, man? I love New Japan. I don't like AEW. I don't like Impact. I love the WWE. I don't love AEW. It's so stupid. It's so ignorant. And when you hit your wagon to something, usually it's a positive thing. You know what? I'm happy that the NBA is playing. I'm happy baseball is playing. I'm not a big hockey fan, but I'm so deprived of sports right now, I'll watch it. Shit.
You know what?
I'm hitching my wagon to sports again. I'm not going to go right now on, you know what, man, that game. As much as I feel this way, I'm not going to go on social media and go, oh, they should fire Gentry because he didn't put Zion Williamson in the last 2 minutes of the game. I'm not going to do that.
Well,
why would I do that? That's such a meaningless form of negativity. And in wrestling, it's even more prevalent. That's what I'm saying. I just
here's
wish
the other
people
thing.
Stop.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. You know, maybe people have only been watching wrestling for the last 10 years, or, you know, you're new to Bust Open or whatever the case may be. Maybe you're new to professional wrestling. This isn't new, Mark. I go back 25 years. There's something about pro wrestling, and I've seen it in other instances, like with hip-hop, like with music, like different genres of hip-hop and different styles of hip-hop, and people bitching and moaning, I only like this. When it's like, listen, we're kind of all in this together. You go back to like hip-hop and Tipper Gore and people attacking the parental advisory and what hip-hop means, and it's a bunch of thugs. Like, no, I mean, we got Talib Kweli, we got Mos Def, like, we've got conscious hip-hop. Like, it's an art that we appreciate the entirety of it, right? And you want to see it build and be stronger together. I think when pro wrestling fans bitch, I think there is an element of that. They know the WWE specifically in this case, because I think that's a little bit more what we're talking about, obviously coming off of SmackDown. I think they know they have the money at the disposal, right? They know that they have the roster and talent at their disposal. They know that they can be great, and they just want to see it great. So that's where you hear a lot of the venom. You hear a lot of the blowback, and they're passionate. I guess the positive sign of all this, or the positive that we take away, is that presumably people are watching. That you're creating a dialogue, and if they're not watching WWE for whatever reason, hopefully they're watching AEW. And if they're not watching AEW and WWE, hopefully they're watching New Japan. Impact. Like, hopefully pro wrestling is still getting watched. That's really all we care about at the end of the day.
The business of pro wrestling has to outlive us. That's what I want. I want to be a 70-year-old man sitting on the couch with people that, you know, don't exist yet right now. They're like elementary school kids. They're in the kindergarten. And I want to be able to, in 20 years, go, wow, wrestling is just as good as when I was a boy, or just as good as when I was in my middle 30s, or when I turned 50. Like, it was, wrestling was this, and I was doing this show that talked about wrestling. Like, I want it to be that. I want it to still be here at a positive and strong, strong capacity. And I think that when people tear it down a lot, it gives the, not impression that wrestling can go away, but it's like the foundation. It's like having termites in your house. And they're eating away, and eventually the house falls down. And I don't want that.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
When you go to a horror movie and you go to a suspense thriller, you want to see people put in dangerous and reckless situations, and you're on the edge of your seat. Now I'm sitting here rocking, because those are not really the kind of movies that I watch. People pick on me all the time about it. My kids are like, Dad, you can watch It. It's a clown. It's a dude in a suit. I don't want to see it. I don't want to have nightmares.
No, it's actually terrifying. That's the one I wouldn't recommend you watch. Like, no Stephen King.
They're trying to get me to watch all the time. I know when they come to me and go, Dad, I know you don't like scary stuff, but you can watch this because it's not that scary. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And that's what last night was to me.
Yeah.
When Bray Wyatt, I start laughing because I get nervous and I start scratching and stuff. I get all these weird mannerisms. Like, I was trying to turn my head. Like, oh man, you know, shit. Oh man, I gotta watch this. I gotta talk about
my job. It's my job. I got a show to do tomorrow.
And my family, they laugh. It's the funniest shit to them to see me writhe because I'm uncomfortable, because I'm the Rock. I'm the tough guy. I'm dad. No, man, I am the worst. And last night, Bray Wyatt had me like in that space. And that was wrestling. And I'm proud of pro wrestling for being able to do what horror movies do to me. Because there's a little kid somewhere in America that was watching the show last night that was like, Mom,
right,
can you make him stop?
Well,
like that's good TV, man. That's good TV.
It was television, guys. Right. And another thing that I like, and you're right, it's television and it should be fun and it should be scary and it should be all those things. But what I like in terms of what we saw last night, there's continuity there, right? Like that's a callback to the Swamp match. We got a little bit of a tease of potentially Alexa Bliss as Sister Abigail. We thought it was a one-off. We thought it was Bray Wyatt messing with the brain of Braun Strowman in those mixed tag years and the relationship between those two. But it looks like there might be something deeper. Mark, I don't think this is just some random abduction or some sort of attack, or this seems like it has a purpose, and it seems like there's going to be a continuating story with Alexa Bliss and Bray Wyatt slash The Fiend, which I'm all for. I love the aesthetic. I think any sort of new wrinkle to The Fiend character after a year plus or whatever it's been with him on our radar, it brings some freshness to it, and I'm definitely intrigued to see where this goes. Where do you think
Did you see her face?
It was great.
Like, it was fear. It was
very
like,
well done.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah. Please don't let this happen to me. Please, I don't want this. And I can see her now being a zombie. Like, you know, Braun trying to, like, hey, snap out of it. Snap, bang, mm-hmm. bang. And now he's got to fight off the Fiend. And, you know, he's able to, you know, emotionally take himself into a place where he can hurt the Fiend. He's a strong guy. He's a monster. He's the monster amongst men.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's going back to her again. Like, hey, wake up, snap out of it. I mean, there's so much that can be done, and him do stuff that causes matches to be lost for Braun. That builds up the whole thing with the Fiend, the story of him and the Fiend, which also having Alexa there, it is sometimes the Fiend might start to lose her a little bit. She starts to kind of snap out of it, and then he has to go and intimidate her again to black her back out again. Like, I mean, there's so much that can be done. I'm the potential for this is something that I love, and if I don't get what I want, fine, it's okay. I'm not gonna bitch and moan about it, but I will have those thoughts in my own head.
You know what I would like as we sit here kind of talking about it and the possibilities? First of all, you're right, the tentacles of this, the branches of this tree, however you want to kind of visualize it, they're kind of endless, right? Yeah, the roots. There you go. It's kind of endless, right? In what they can do. One thing that I like in terms of a possibility is you could use Alexa as a bridge to get Braun back in the good graces of Bray. Like he could use Alexa as almost bait to get Braun to come back to not the Wyatt family in the incarnation that we remember the Wyatt family, but. Exactly. You want this, right? You know you want this. Isn't it more fun to be home? Isn't this more of a family? Yeah.
He's using you.
Yep.
Like, are you okay? Like, you don't sound right. Like, no, I'm here to bring you home. Like,
yep,
you know, he wants you back. And man, it's so much that can be done. So much.
And there was a caller yesterday that chimed in, and forgive me, I don't remember the man's name, but he called in and he asked a question, and it's something that we've been talking about since the beginning of The Fiend, and that is, you know, does The Fiend / Bray Wyatt need a championship? And I think, again, this last night proved that no, you don't. You can begin shows with Bray, as we saw in the opening promos with a little bit of the Firefly Funhouse, right? And you can end shows with Bray. You can have him in any sort of capacity. It doesn't matter. He does not need a belt because he's bigger than a belt. He's this generation's, and I know it gets thrown around a lot, but it's true. He's this generation's Undertaker. He's bigger than a belt. He's bigger than just even pro wrestling. He's blurring lines, and it's being done really, really, really well, Mark.
Yeah, and I think that in a year or so, when this COVID hell is over with, we could possibly see a Fiend horror movie. Like, nobody has to die, but what if he just collected people? Like the Blair Witch. When I remember, shit. I remember
that movie was
seeing that
terrifying girl
in the corner.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Now,
like, it still haunts my dreams to this day.
You know what's hilarious? I remember going to see the Blair Witch Project in the theater. I slept with the lights on. I was staying at a hotel. It was summer break. I was hanging out with some buddies. We had parents with us. And I remember going to see that in the theater. I thought that was real.
So when I watched
that, so I scared the ever loving shit out of me watching that movie. And I'm with you. Like, I think about it today. Like, yeah, I was on some different stuff that night.
They got me.
Yeah, definitely got me. And I think, hey, last night for a certain section of fans, that was a very scary moment. We talked about it. The music, the drawn out nature of the mandible claw coming in, just very, very, very well done. The flip side of that, of Blonde's having a bad night last night on SmackDown, was Mandy Rose getting attacked by Sonya Deville. And that was, again, you talk about, you know, we talked about it in terms of The Fiend, right? It's not often that you see something like that where you have someone that brutalizes someone that badly, especially of the opposite sex, you know, same sex. You know, very rarely do you see an attack from anybody on the roster that resulted in what we saw last night. So, Mark, the return of Mandy and Otis last night took a pretty gnarly turd, and Sonya Deville enacting even more revenge on Mandy Rose. So what do you think happens? I mean, it was violent. It certainly took their feud and escalated it another notch. I didn't hate it.
Listen. The thing about jealousy is one of the original sins. And they came out and really portrayed that last night. Like, she hates the fact that she's getting by off being beautiful or being put on a pedestal when she looks in the mirror and she sees beauty. She sees extravagance. She sees a regalness, a toughness, a strong, you know, woman that should be respected just as much as she does, as much as she gets. But that's where the ugly head comes out, when you don't get treated. I remember seeing a lady that was, like, really gorgeous. I mean, you know, one of those where everybody, like in The Matrix, when the guy, his mouse, he goes, "Hey, did you see her? Did you see her?" Right. And he made a program of what he thought the most beautiful woman was. And then that person walks through a room and everybody in the room stops and looks like, wow. Like, holy cow. So I painted the picture. So this woman walks, and the guy opens the door for her. And she walks through, and the guy closes, like, just lets the door go. And there were, like, five other women standing there behind him. And he just walked behind her like a puppy, like a duck following his mom. And, bro, the lady stood there, and she just screamed out, "Am I invisible?" And I went to myself, woo. And that's how a lot of women feel. And I can see that that's what Sonya is saying. I can see her painting that picture that she feels invisible when she feels like she's just as talented or more talented. And a lot of women feel that way, bro. A lot of women. And hell, it's men. But from the standpoint of having a woman that we all deem to be super, I guess, you know, she's like a sex symbol.
Yeah.
If for peach, lack of a better term.
Otis is peach.
She's the peach. And I think the sweetest peach in the bunch. and that's what. That's what Sonya is saying. No, that's not true. And why are you getting attention? Why are you she just tearing her down at all points. And I think that it's easy to get behind that. And last night she turned it up a lot. And well, that was great.
It's not reinventing the wheel, right? It's kind of like, as you said, you broke it down. It's kind of a tale as old as time. It's just it reinvented and redone for this current incarnation. And these obviously the talent that we're talking about here today. It was a violent attack. It certainly ramped it up in Sonya's regard. And it took the feud to a whole new level. I guess my question to you, Mark, is where does Otis fit into all this? Because I feel like, you know, when you're Peach, when your girl gets beaten down in that sort of way, I mean, obviously Otis can't go and
hit Sonya
with a worm, but he can offer support or he can what phrasing the worm. You know what I'm talking about? The worm into the elbow drop. I'm not talking about like the worm.
Hit it with the elbow drop.
Yeah, the elbow drop. You guys should have seen Mark's face. But no, seriously, obviously he can't go out there and get retribution physically, at least seemingly, but he can't offer support. He can offer motivation. I feel like
that's
Otis
what
is
I
going,
think. Motivation. Yeah. Why not have Otis say, you know what, you have to turn this whole narrative around. Why don't you take it to her? Look what she did to your hair. Look what she did to your face. Make her be the one that regrets. And I can see that Rocky speech, that him, Otis, giving it to Mandy and then her going out and saying, you know what, you're right. I'm going to make her life a living hell. And let that happen, man. That was a good point. That was a really good point, Ryan.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live weekdays from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
A very animated Big E last night.
Yeah.
What was, I think, Mark, I mean, really, not a debut, but this is kind of this new era of Big E. This is the singles push Big E. And we got a great match last night between The Miz. I don't know how much it means because I feel like Miz recently has been booked in a very comedic role. But nonetheless, I let me say this. The Miz, I think, is one of the top talents, singles, tag, or otherwise, in the entire company. The work he's done specifically in the last decade is admirable, to put it mildly. The dude is extremely talented. I feel the same way about Big E. It was just good to see two guys that have been in tags and have been in various storylines over however many years actually get in the ring and have a good Matt sort of centric focus type match. It just felt really good. It certainly felt good to watch it. And Mark, it's great, obviously, because Big E goes out and gets the win, and we're off to either the Intercontinental Championship or the world title. I don't know where it's going to go, but this was a good jumping off point.
It was a good, really good starting point. I don't know if I can identify with either guy as just a tag wrestler or just a individual performer, even though they both had their stints as the other. And I think that that was a good hybrid matchup last night. They did a good job of finding somebody that was his equal from a having a historical reference point. And I mean, Morrison out being out there was a good buffer, but that match was entertaining as hell. Like, you, if once you started watching, even from the time that Big E rolled down to the ring and did his dancing and gyrations and stuff, and you know, you have Miz and Morrison, who, I mean, they entertain you from the time they come on screen to the time they leave it. And Miz, the match was really, really solid. Like, they did a lot of reversing, a lot of false finishes. There was a couple of points where what I always like in a match is seeing a babyface fire up, like he's getting hit. And then he's like, no, I'm not going down, baby. And they start to get the shake going. Like, I mean, like, I emotionally was invested in the match. And was there a point in the match where, at any point in the match, where you looked at it and went, I'm going to go get something to drink?
Nah, not with those two. That match, I was locked
that,
in on
it was
that match.
That good, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was well done. And, you know, this brings me to my next point. As you talked about Big E rolling to the ring, obviously this man has comedic timing. His entire character and swagger is so unique unto himself and the New Day. It's really unlike anything we've ever seen before. This brings me to a thought that I had that I wanted to talk to you about. And this centers around your former colleague and co-host on Backstage, and a man you know very well, another WWE Hall of Famer, Booker T. He came out in the last 24 hours and he had some comments on Big E. And basically, essentially, Mark, what Booker had said was, obviously, he supports Big E. He likes Big E. He just thinks that Big E needs to go through some changes potentially to have a championship run, right? That he can't do it in the current incarnation. It's a little too comedic. It's a little too New Day-y, if you will. And Booker essentially saying that he needs to take a turn. He needs to get more serious, to kind of maybe do away a little bit with the New Day stuff. Mark, I just want to get your thoughts on that. Like, does Big E, does he need to change anything to be taken more seriously as a world champion, to get one of those straps to solidify himself as a singles superstar?
I don't think so. I disagree with Booker. Have a lot of respect for Book.
Sure.
And I think that Big E is like the new way of evaluating wrestling. Back in the old days, for all you young whippersnappers, back in the old days, there were guys that were sometimes in the teams, tag team, they did ha-ha. And when they distanced themselves from the comedy, they usually just beat the hell out of their partner and leave them laying, and they spit on them, and they kick dirt in their face, everything debaucherous you could do. And then they went completely 180. And now in pro wrestling, because of we're entertainment and we're not grappling, I think the line is blurred with people like Booker and myself and The Undertaker and The Big Show, because we were, during that time, we understood that that was the way that you did it. But now wrestling has evolved in the last 15, 20 years, and it's changed dramatically with The Rock and Stone Cold and Chris Jericho's of the world. Like, you could be a bad guy, but also be entertaining and have people like you a little bit, or even if they don't like you, they respect you. And I think that that's something that Booker has to keep in mind, that the techniques never change. The philosophy and the psychology never changes. It's going to always be the same. There's always going to be a winner. There's always going to be a loser. There's always going to be a good guy, and there's always going to be a bad guy. But how you get there and how you define who is who has changed. And, you know, I think that I try to think about that when I make my judgment calls, because sometimes I'm old man, get off my lawn. and I don't want Booker to come across that way, but it seemed like he was you know, a little bit old school in his thought process.
And another thing, as we talk about Booker T and his comments on Big E, I feel like he has his own history with that. I mean, we're talking about Booker T.
King Booker.
Right? You're talking about Harlem Heat. You're talking about then WCW World Champion, right? Then he comes over to WWE, and he doesn't get his first championship until he adopts a King gimmick. And the King gimmick, I mean, that was sort of comedic. Like, the fake English accent, right? Like, if anyone would understand the situation,
the royalty.
I feel like it would be Booker T. And here's the other thing. Did Kofi Kingston need to adapt?
No.
When Kofi Mania happened, did Kofi need to distance himself from the New Day and do anything different?
Or the same gear.
Exactly. And he was extremely over. Not that we don't have crowds to go over, but I'm pretty sure.
Throwing pancakes.
The pancakes, yes. None of that had to change. So, and again, we respect the hell out of Booker T and you know, everything that he's done and the legend that he is. I guess, you know, I think we both
I think Booker will come back and apologize, or even if he don't apologize, say, you know what, I think I might be looking at it from an old school perspective, and you know, Big E is good enough, and that's all he has to say. You know, he don't have to say anything, but because it's his opinion. But I do think that, you know, being a friend and a fan of Book, I would tell him, I think it's different now.
Yeah.
That would be my advice. Hey, it's different now.
Yeah, let me ask you this as we talk about the match between Big E and The Miz. That was a great match. It was a really well-done match. It had proper time. It was engaging. It meant something. The flip side of that, another great match that happened on Friday Night SmackDown. It kicked off the show. Grand Metalik and AJ Styles for the Intercontinental Championship. That was another great match. Just on the surface, Mark, if you had to pick between the two, which match did you like better between Big E and The Miz and Metalik and Styles? Because they both delivered.
You know what, man? They were both, it was six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. They were different. It was different things. But I'm going to tell you right now, I see Grand Metalik doing more and not dummying down for just tag team stuff.
Man,
he needs to do more individual wrestling, especially after last night with AJ Styles. The stories that could be told and how many things he could do. How impressive is it the way he spins on the ropes and the way he can jump up to the top rope? And he didn't do it last night, but how he walked down the ropes like the Undertaker and do stuff. Like, I mean, I want to see him. He didn't pull out all the tricks. You got to say something.
They left some meat on the bone, as we like to say here on Busted Open.
Yeah. Yeah. And I hope that we get some of that meat next week. I want to see Grand Metalik again against somebody else, but this time somebody that, you know, really needs a good whooping, and he slips one over on him. Like, he deserves that after this week. And it's something like, tell me another story. I'm just sitting here like the little kid on the floor, crisscross applesauce, like looking up and going, tell me a story. I want to be entertained. And I think that's what Grand Metalik offers. And AJ Styles is such a damn heel. Oh my God, what a bastard. Like, he can be good and you love him at times, and then he could go and have a match like he did last night and make you want to catch him coming outside and jump him.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
The landscape of pro wrestling is evolving. which means more options for fans.
So many activities!
Mark Henry and Ryan McKinnell are here to answer the difficult questions. What was the best show this week?
You ain't first, you're last.
The week's over, so get over. This is the Busted Open Weekly Winner.
Yeah, pro wrestling fans, you hear the music. You know what it is, Nation. It's hour two on a Saturday. It is weekly winter time here on Busted Open. I am Ryan McKinnell. That is, of course, the world's strongest man, WWE Hall of Famer Mark Henry. And hey, Mark, I'm going to dip back real quick to last week. Last week, a little bit surprising. I thought when I started the show that I was going to be going with NXT, you know, cross main event, the way everything played out. I thought I was going to be going with NXT, but by the end of it, the way we worked through Weekly Winner, easy for me to say, the way we worked through Weekly Winner, I ended up choosing Raw. You convinced me, and when I really went back and thought about it, Raw, especially for a three-hour show, they had a really, really solid show. So we both went with Monday Night Raw. That was a rarity. I know who I'm picking this week, and I feel like it's a little bit of a surprise, but I'm going to let you go first because I want to hear your thoughts and your breakdown when you look at the week that was in professional wrestling. I want to hear who gets your top spot, and then I'll give the listeners mine, and we can break it down.
You know what? I really enjoyed this. This has been a good week of wrestling, actually. I mean, yeah. It's not as good as like 2 weeks ago when every show on pro wrestling was spectacular, from Raw to SmackDown. NXT and AEW were great. We had a Slammiversary was that week. It was awesome. But this was a really good week. And Monday Night Raw started it off. Very entertaining show. So much to get into. Watching Nia Jax and, you know, Shayna Baszler was something that I had looked forward to for a long time. It lived up. I really would have liked to seen it be more of a tease and then them have a match at SummerSlam, which, you know, could still be a possibility. But I also really enjoyed Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre is getting better and better. He's commanding, has a commanding presence. You know, even the tag, the triple threat tag, like, I mean, really, really good action. And I kind of, you know, bashed a little bit. I bashed the tag division a little bit because I thought that they kind of got away from doing the things that you want to see in a tag. And it was just like,
wait, you mean actual wrestling? You mean actual in-ring competition?
Yeah. Like, can we get some tag wrestling from the '80s?
Yeah.
Some spots, brother. Like I wanted to see that more.
Yeah.
Save your partner. You always like the spot where you shoot somebody in the corner and then your partner dives across and stops you from hitting the turnbuckle. Yeah. Like stuff like do that old tag stuff. But anyway, I digress. really, really good show. And Sasha Banks, brother, this is, I talked to Dave yesterday, and now Dave he's with us. He's in the land of the living. When he said that Charlotte was head and shoulders above the rest of the women, now he's retracting that, which I think should have happened. Sasha Banks is as good as anybody in pro wrestling, male or female. Storytelling, action. Asuka is so damn good, too.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it's really, really hard. And watching them work was poetry. And, you know, I made a couple of appearances. You got to see the black suit.
I was going to say, what were you chatting about with Drew McIntyre there?
You know what? I was proud of him. That, you know, I remember him coming in and not living up to what everybody thought, because Drew was, he was partying, he was hanging out. Wrestling was a secondary thought. Being on the road and finally getting to the big dance.
Yeah, yeah.
He had made it. But you know.
Plus being called the chosen one, Mark. You know, that's a heavy
lot of pressure
to bear. Yeah, absolutely.
A lot of pressure. And, you know, so it was good. We talked about that stuff. And to see him and Dolph, the way that they worked and how stiff they worked. Oh, man. Like, it was really, really, really good show. Watching MVP and Bobby and R-Truth and Shelton and all of this stuff. It just, like, there was so much balance and serious. I'm gonna try to roll Shelton up, get some, like, what the hell just happened here? Like, it was a good show. And you get to Wednesday and the biggest thing that I thought happened on AEW was MJF promo.
Yeah.
I was entertained by the talent. Not overly impressed with the boardroom lawyer segments. Cody definitely was the best match on the card, even though without being disrespectful, the background story for who he wrestled was not done well enough. I wanted to know more about the guy he wrestled. So I
And Mark, you're talking about Warhorse, which yeah. I'm glad we're getting into this because I loved seeing Warhorse on my television. Like the 4,000 pound, 4,000 pounds of raw heavy metal ruling ass, like coming out there with the 80s hair metal and the Native American imagery and the, yeah, like I loved all of that, but you're right. You have the package, you have the music, you have the look, you have the match that backs it all up. No pre-match promo, no history, nothing to build my emotion this man that you're showcasing in a way that tells me that he's valuable.
Match was good.
You know, the match was great. Like, it was the highlight.
I want to see him work
on the card. Yes.
I want to see him work more.
Yep.
Now that I know who he is, but I didn't know who he was. And they needed to tell me.
Yep.
So I could get more invested. But anyway.
Yep. Yep.
AEW, it was a good show. NXT had more than one promo, even though the Keith Lee promo,
it was good,
was pretty damn good, and it was
that's what we've been wanting.
You and I talked about that. Yeah, yeah. Say it.
No, that's what we had said. We wanted seriousness. We wanted, we wanted the crusher mentality. We wanted a little bit of that World's Strongest Man. Hey, somebody's gonna get their ass kicked.
Yeah, and we got it. And not to mention, like watching. Like I'm a Swerve fan.
Yep.
And I want to see Swerve more. I want to see more of him. Like have you ever seen him have a bad match?
No.
I've never seen him have a bad
match. Nothing below a B minus.
Just unbelievable. Yeah. And
yep.
Like you go into watching the I guess you can't call it a, God, what do you call that kind of match? You know, it's kind of a grappling style match. I like the matches like that Thatcher had.
You talk like about the triple threat, the main event?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he is more of a grappler, and I like that style. But it was really good to see Loomis come out on top. And Finn Balor is Finn Balor. Like, he's just great.
Yeah.
Like, that match alone was good enough to be, weekly winner. And then you get to SmackDown. And last night, I was kind of doubting whether or not, and I started thinking about the week, and I was like, man, we got to do weekly winner. Like, SmackDown is, you know, it's rolling as long as they started with AJ Styles and Grand Metalik. Like, they started with it. And then you heard the show so far, how strong we've talked about SmackDown. I mean, you had Jeff Hardy, Sheamus. And the drubbing, if you, is the only thing that I can say about it with Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. And then you had a hell of a match with Naomi and Lacey Evans, which was brutal. I mean, another brutal attack. And then you have a really good match. I mean, Big E and Miz shined like a light, man. It was just poetry to put two big guys or two guys that have been in big situations.
Right.
World champions in tags and world champions in and singles. Big E haven't been world champion, but he's been intercontinental champion. He's held some gold. And then you get to the end of the show, and the show ends in a way that we all know Mark don't like scary stuff, but Alexa Bliss, after a hell of a match with Nikki Cross.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Which
Bayley and, we didn't even get into Bayley and Nikki Cross yet. My God.
Yeah. We didn't even get into Bayley and Nikki Cross match. The match was spectacular, but it was overshadowed by 2 minutes.
Yep.
And when the Fiend came out, and that slow stalking of Alexa Bliss and him intimidating her and mentally, like, he got everybody. And I, as much as I wanted to give my weekly winner to NXT, I have to give the weekly winner to SmackDown. SmackDown did more last night than I've seen them do in a while. And I'm proud of SmackDown because we don't give them flowers often because they haven't lived up.
Yeah.
So my weekly winner goes to SmackDown. And you know, NXT, you close second. Raw, third. And for the first time, I think ever, AEW was fourth. As much, and I loved Impact. But it they're still introducing stuff, but they're not there yet. But everybody else is last. Congratulations, SmackDown.
Well, that's what I love about doing this show with you, Mark, is that, you know, you acknowledge that there is a surprise factor with SmackDown getting the weekly winner because, they haven't been consistently at the top at any sort of position. I think the last time we gave SmackDown the weekly winner, and again, memory might not be perfect, but I do know that we both unanimously gave SmackDown the weekly winner the night of the Saudi plane incident, and then the NXT wrestlers came over, and then you had Adam Cole go over on Daniel Bryan. That was a great show, and I know that day we both gave both of our weekly winners to SmackDown.
But you can't blatantly remember another day.
No, I can't. And in the last week, it was pretty rare, the fact that we both gave it to Monday Night Raw. And again, with the preface that, you know, we don't do this often because by and large, Wednesday night is the best night in professional wrestling. So let's start with Wednesday night as I give you my weekly winner. First of all, I think the story of Wednesday is the fall off of AEW. Now, it's a really good problem to have when you still have a pretty solid show overall, all things considered, but people aren't, you know, people, I saw a lot of it on social media. People like, oh, it just didn't live up to it. Something was missing. It just didn't hit the way that it had previously. That's a good problem for AEW to have. It means that the expectations are relatively high and you didn't meet them. That's okay. You're not going to have that on weekly TV, right? It happens. Exactly. Now, I go back to Warhorse. I love Warhorse. I want to see more of Warhorse. I love the package. I love the look. I think there's a uniqueness with a character like that. I mean, obviously I'm a heavy metal fan, right? LaGreca's a heavy metal fan, Bully Ray, Tommy. I don't like, what is your love of metal, Mark? Like, do you, I mean, you grew up in the 80s, so there's gotta be some appreciation for the jean jacket and the aesthetic of the heavy metal Warhorse character.
You know what, man? I was a Guns N' Roses guy.
Oh, there you go.
Like, you know, Poison, you know, a little Rat.
There but you go.
I wasn't a huge rock and roller. Right. I wasn't a huge fan. It just, grew up in the MTV era.
Yeah.
So you had to listen to everything.
Well, it's like, you know, when other people, sorry, not to cut you off, Mark, but when like people talk about hip hop, like they might not be hip hop fans, but they still listen to Run DMC, or they know Tupac, or they, you know what I mean? That's your relationship with,
right. And I love Aerosmith and Journey and like all of this, like that kind of rock. I'm more of a yacht rock guy now.
Oh, Swerve.
Than I was back then. Back then, you know, like Flock of Seagulls in the 80s and you know, but once I got to high school and I heard Guns N' Roses, I immediately identified with Axl Rose. I love that
really
part of, man, I just love Guns N' Roses. Like they would, if I could write a rock song, like I would have wanted to write Halfway There. Like that was that album, Slippery When Wet. Like it just did something to me. It's in my top 10 all time albums because of the way that it emotionally put me into place. But you know, we'll talk about our love for rock and roll another day. But Warhorse is a guy that I wanted to know more about him.
Right, right.
Like, if you had prefaced the fact that that's who he was, then I think I would have got more behind him from the beginning, because at first I was like this. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, who is he? You know? And they dropped the ball on that.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I think there should have been more backstory with Warhorse, but hey, maybe that comes in the future weeks, right? Maybe you leave a little bit as we circle back to hour one, and one of our favorite things here on the show, little meat on the bone is left, and it comes.
Maybe they'll sign him.
Yeah. Well, hopefully.
They signed Eddie Kingston.
Yep. I was just going to say they signed Eddie Kingston. And as Gunn said, what's his face? That's what he said during the break. He's like, they just signed.
Hey, we got to have Eddie Kingston on.
Yeah, can we? Yeah, Guns with his hands up. Yeah, Guns. Yeah, you called hey, Eddie Kingston, what's his face? Out of all the people in
Guns
pro wrestling,
what's his face?
Where I would not want to, or where I would, if there was one talent where I would just be intensely, deathly fearful of forgetting their name, it would be Eddie Kingston. So way to go, Guns. You are now a marked man, and Eddie Kingston is out for
blood. He's going to kick your ass when this pandemic is over. Yeah.
Bring it, Eddie. What's good? God. I'm Guns with a Z. Let's go.
No, did you see
Mark's
face?
Even Mark? No. Yeah, out of all the people, do not fuck with Eddie Kingston, Guns.
Please don't
do
that.
What are you doing?
There's a couple of guys you could do that to.
like George the Clown?
No. Don't do that, sir. The dude is serious.
Also, that was my first F-bomb of the show. I saw someone on Twitter snitch tagging last week that you guys cuss too much. And Ryan, yeah, I think you get Mark going. I cussed once. That was my first F-bomb. Also, I'm the one that does terrestrial radio on this station. I cuss less than everybody on this show. Mark, I had you on my show a year ago locally here in Vegas, and the first sentence you said was fuck. I cussed the least out of everybody. I got very defensive at that. I don't remember who the person that tweeted, but clearly it still stuck with
me. Well, I had a pastor reach out to me and tell me. He was like, hey, Mark, you're a good guy, and I hear you on the radio. I listen to the show. He's like, you got a little out of hand last week. And, you know, that Ryan McKinnell, I expect that out of him. But
what does that mean?
You got to do better. And I was like, oh, sorry.
I'm sorry.
I was like, and Ryan is the one that cusses the least.
Thank you. Thank you.
Sorry, Pastor.
Maybe, we get together. We get a little passionate. It's Saturday. We're you know, emotions are running high.
We miss each other, winter. Man. We haven't seen each other in a week.
Yeah.
Kind of get caught up and excited, man.
Start talking about ribs and bad booking and the F-bombs just start to fly. All right, so that was AEW. Mark, you gave your weekly winner to Friday Night SmackDown. So I gave my thoughts a little bit on AEW. As far as NXT goes, I thought it was a really solid show. I don't have anything to say beyond that. We already covered the promo from Keith Lee. I thought it was great. I want to see more in regards to that. I did not like Monday Night Raw. I hated the Lashley and Ali booking. I don't understand bringing Ali back just to have him lose in that fashion, in that way. I didn't like the booking in regards to that. I loved Asuka and Sasha Banks, and I had no problem with the finish as far as that goes. It just didn't feel like, oh, the best part of it, though. And when I say I didn't like Raw, I'm talking about like maybe like a B minus B overall. Asuka and Banks I thought was outstanding. And really the takeaway for Raw, which I thought was awesome, was McIntyre and Ziggler. I just thought that was a really well done match. And then you end with Randy Orton. Like if we're talking about a close, all shows, well, specifically WWE, NXT, Raw and SmackDown all ended really, really well. I loved the end of Raw. Mark, but I got to be honest, as we sit here and break it down and we get into the shows, I can't believe this is happening for back-to-back weeks. Number one, I can't believe we're agreeing on weekly winner in back-to-back weeks. And for to take you guys behind the curtain, we don't discuss this before the show. I want it to be a surprise. I want it to be visceral. I want to, you know, actually, you know, have some organic sort of approach to the way we do this segment every week because I like being surprised. I can't believe this. Not only are we getting a different or the same weekly winner this week, it is a WWE product, and it is not only a WWE product, it's SmackDown. So last week gets the weekly winner for Raw from both of us, and this week inexplicably gets SmackDown. But I mean, you can't
is
really
there,
deny
is there
it.
A battle brewing between Raw and SmackDown, like the battle that we see on Wednesday?
Hey, I hope so. It's gonna be good for us. And listen, I don't know what the thought process is. I don't know if it's ratings oriented. I don't know if it, but what I do see happening is matches are mattering more seemingly in the last couple months than they had prior. Like think about how the show started on SmackDown, Grand Metalik and AJ Styles, right? Think
get
about
your attention. Stay right, here.
Right. Think about how the show ended. Bayley and Nikki Cross. Right now there was obviously
talented
a huge
match.
Moment. Right. There was obviously a huge moment to solidify the show, but it was match beginning, match end, and good matches in between, right? Like really good matches, like Big E and Miz. It could
have been the main event.
It was not even main event. Could have been match of the week. Not something we do here. We do weekly winner, but could have been match of the week. So you had matches, three good matches on a two-hour show, beginning bookends, front and back, middle with Big E and The Miz, and then you have the Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose attack. You have natural story building and progression. It was, as you like to talk about, it was one of those shows, Mark, where you didn't feel like getting up and going to grab a drink. You were pretty much, you know, focused and reined in and honed in on the show itself. And again,
Naomi and Lacey, I couldn't leave.
Yep. I the whole show was really well done. So tip of the cap to everybody in the pro wrestling world.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.